Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. Always on time and bringing you the hottest topics today. Now, introducing the show host, Jeff Thomas.
Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. I am your host. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about on our show today. Man, thanks for everybody that tuned in to last week's podcast on Tuesday and Thursday. I really, really appreciate everybody for tuning in and giving me a lot of different feedback on it. Much love. If you want to check out our podcast, you can download our show on iTunes. You can also find it on Spotify. And you can also get on our Facebook page, the Jeff Thomas Show, so you can tune in there as well. And we're on Twitter, Jeff Thomas Show, as well as Instagram, the Jeff Thomas Show. You can follow me on there as well. I just want to thank everybody again for tuning into the show, man, making the show a success so far. I don't care if one person listens, two people listen. Somebody, as long as somebody is listening and somebody wants to spend the time to spend 30, 40, maybe even an hour with me on the show. On today's show, man, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. And since this is election season, we're talking about voting and we're talking about the election and we're talking about the campaign promises that have been given out. And we know tonight is the presidential debates on the 29th of September. And so Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. And this is going to be very interesting. I can't wait to kind of tune in and listen to it tonight. I am going to watch it. And hopefully I don't get bored by it, but I don't really think I will be bored. I think this will be very entertaining when you have somebody like Donald Trump and Joe Biden squaring off. So this should be really, really funny. I'm going to say that funny, but sad in the same sense, because we have a lot of serious issues that's going on in our country. And on last week, I discussed the Breonna Taylor situation. There's a lot of stuff going on down in the city of Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm praying for safety for everybody that's down there as well. But on today's show, of course, we're going to talk about the $500 billion plan that Donald Trump is laying out for Black America. So I have to really listen in on this because I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'll discuss the debate as well. We'll get into that just a little bit. I'm going to tie in some historical stuff. I'm going to talk about 40 acres and a mule. And so and this is why I want people to really, really pay attention when you're talking about voting, because that's almost on the realms of reparations for African Americans. And then I'm going to talk some football. So I'm going to talk some NFL football. I'm going to get my recap since it's Tuesday. I'm going to drop some nuggets on those sports fans that love the NFL and football and the NBA. Of course, the championship has started. LeBron is back in it. So we'll discuss that as well. Again, check us out every Tuesday and Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow our show page here and download our podcast. Give us a review. Let us know what you think about the show. It's cool. You know, let us know whether you like it, dislike it, what it needs to improve. We're always open. I'm always open to change that. So I want to get into this Donald Trump $500 billion plan, I should say, for the Black community. And so I'm going to jump right into it because I thought, I'm not going to lie, I laughed extremely hard when I heard it. I was just like dying laughing. And it put me in the mindset of the 40 acres and the mule. And so I wanted to talk about it. And I don't know if all the plan has been laid out and everything has been discussed. And I'm going to talk about that and Donald Trump in relation to how he is soliciting the Black vote. So Donald Trump is very interesting character, and he has some very strong people behind him strategizing on how to get this particular vote. And so I'll play what he laid out last week in Atlanta at a conference. And so just kind of take a listen to it.
I'm here today to announce a brand new plan to deliver more opportunity, more security, more fairness, and more prosperity to Black communities. We call it the Platinum Plan. Platinum Plan. And that's a contract with Black Americans, and it's going to be something that people talk about for a long time to come. If you vote Republican over the next 4 years, we will create 3 million new jobs for the Black community. Open 500,000 new Black-owned businesses. increase access to capital in black communities by $500 billion. And this includes investing in community development financial institutions and minority depository institutions.
Now, I'm tripping because I'm listening to the people in the background. And I don't know what color the people are because you can't see. I'm assuming it's African-American people since he was at a black. He's talking about black economic empowerment. And so he was in Atlanta, Georgia last week. And I just find this very interesting. The Platinum Plan. And so when I heard this, I'm thinking to myself, Platinum. Now, you know, and anybody that knows anything about marketing and in particularly marketing to the African-American community, you know that the term platinum really represents something. Gold, chains, jewelry. And when I heard the Platinum Plan, I had to laugh because I'm like, the Platinum Plan? So that's what we are now, the Platinum Plan for black people? And that it has some psychological marketing behind that. What I would say is that that's the first time I've ever heard a president in my lifetime say those sort of things. Now, how true, if it will happen, I doubt it. I mean, Donald Trump made promise to build a wall. He made promise to abolish Obamacare. He made a lot of different promises and he hasn't delivered on. Okay. $500 billion to African-American communities. That's a stretch. 500,000 new businesses in the African-American community. That's a stretch. 3 million new jobs for African-Americans. That's a stretch. So obviously, Donald Trump has been talking to somebody who knows or think they know what the plan is to uplift economic development in the African-American community. I just think that that's just interesting. It's really interesting because if you have this plan and you could ignite this plan, then how come you couldn't ignite it before? And how come any other sitting president couldn't ignite it before? I don't know, and I doubt that this will happen because I know that Donald Trump talks out of the side of his mouth a lot of time and he makes a lot of promises. But just the fact that they are coming after the black vote this hard needs to really let African-American people know how important their vote is. It's tremendous. I read an article that said, had African-Americans turned out to vote in 2016 like they did in 2012, Hillary would have won the election in a landslide. I mean, that's crucial. And so, you know, the Democrats, and I'm saying this to the Democratic Party, you have undervalued our vote. You have not put in the dollars to make sure that we continue to vote in your party. That's if you, since you're saying that, you know, this is the party that we need to go with right now. But you've taken us for granted, taken us our vote for granted. I heard Bob Johnson talk about this, former founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television. And I saw him at a conference and he made this comment. He said that when he was owning BET, when he owned BET, he said he would try to solicit the Democratic vote, the Democratic Party, to try to advertise on BET during election times. He said the Democratic, you know, Party would say to him, you know what? Nah, we don't need to invest. We know we're getting the black vote. He said he would go to the Republican Party and he would ask them and he would say, you know, why don't you advertise on BET? You know, your election's coming up. And they said to them, they said to Bob Johnson, well, we know that black people are voting Democrats, so why invest? You see, we have given our votes over a particular party without getting anything in return. And that particular party has taken us for granted. And so there's a lesson to be learned here. And I know you have a lot of different factions that's pulling on people about voting. Some African-Americans are saying vote. Some African-Americans saying not vote. Some African-Americans say they're going to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, so the voting right now is kind of you don't know with the black community. But one thing I do know and I know that the Republican Party knows, is that there's certain things that they could say to sway some of our votes. Some of our votes. Just think about this. A couple years ago, Donald Trump spent $11 million on one commercial that was geared toward the African-American community. $11 million on one commercial that was geared towards the African-American community. And that was the lady that was released from jail. That was the young lady who Kim Kardashian was the culture vulture is what I call her, but who Kim Kardashian helped to get released from prison. $11 million. So if he's spending $11 million on one commercial, that lets you know that he is trying to tap into the African-American vote tremendously. And with this new platinum plan, I mean, there are a lot of people who are going to go to the polls and they're going to press that Trump. I tell you, people, if you do press that button, whether you Biden or whoever, but if you press the button for Trump, that's not good. That platinum plan is not going to happen over the next 4 years. It's just not. And if it does happen and he signs an executive order to try to make some things like that, however he does, runs it through Congress, the Senate, it's not going to pass. You'll see Democrats voting against it. You will. You'll see them holding that bill up big time. The Republicans in the Senate won't vote for it. Let's just keep that real. And let's say it does slip by, which I doubt it will. It will never happen. It will never happen. But I was looking to hear this kind of rhetoric from a previous president. I'm just going to put that out there. So put it out there. Because I think this is a viable idea to put forward for the African-American community, even though it is rhetoric. It's something that needs to be talked about. It needs to be discussed because we have a community that is now and has been for a long time a part of the permanent underclass. We lack ownership in fundamental businesses. We don't own any major. We have a lot of small businesses, but we lack in the major businesses like the Walmarts, like the supermarket chains around the country, automobile business, factories, even marijuana business that we've gotten locked up for, where our people now are making billions of dollars off of the marijuana business, cannabis, I should say. We're locked out of that, and we were the main ones locked up for it. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be discussed. There's a lot of things that need to be put on the table. And so when you have people like the Joe Bidens that's running on these tickets, what are they offering the African-American community? And what are we going to hold them accountable for? What are we going to hold them accountable for? Are we going to say, hey, listen, you know what? If Donald Trump does win, will black people hold him? He probably won't even listen. But Donald Trump knows, he already understands that he has his votes. He has his base. Going to vote for him no matter what. And they know he's not. Even if he doesn't deliver on any promises, they want Donald Trump in office because he speaks to their rhetoric. They like that. The arrogant, white, privileged, racist man. They love it because a lot of them are like that. So I would say to black people, wake up. Don't get duped into that. Don't allow the media to kind of perpetuate that. Donald Trump spoke to his audience. So whatever audience he goes to, that's who he speaks to. Know that. Understand that. This is a very serious time. Right now, we're down to, man, it's getting very, very close to election time. Very close to election time. I think we're starting this weekend. We're a month away. 1 month away from probably, I know, at least for my lifetime, biggest election in history. This is even bigger than President Obama. I mean, that was historical. But this one is going to be bigger than that because you have so much on the line, so much volatile behavior, and it's talk about whether Trump is going to give over the seat in the office, and is the military is going to get involved. There's a lot of different things going on with this right now. But I would tell people, and this is very, very serious, make the right choice at the ballot. Make the right choice at the ballot. African Americans, we have to think. And in this next segment that I'm going to get into, we're going to talk about the 40 acres and a mule. Because, see, I want to jump in on that. I want to talk about 40 Acres and a Mule, so you can kind of get an understanding of how this country has operated in the past. And if you know the history, you'll know what the future will definitely look like in some form or fashion. But hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas, on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Okay, you can follow our show every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Download our podcast wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on Twitter, Jeff Thomas Show. Again, our Facebook page is The Jeff Thomas Show, so make sure you get in on that and like our page. I'm also on Instagram, The Jeff Thomas Show. Like our info, man. I just enjoy talking to people. I enjoy putting out my message. I thought that I had something important to say, and maybe some people might want to listen to it and share it. Share the podcast if you have an opportunity. I think right now is a very interesting time in the country that we're living in. A lot of different things are transpiring. We still have COVID-19 out here, and we're coming up on flu season, and I'm really hoping and praying that everybody remains safe. State of Florida just opened up, and I think as of today, they had like 725 new cases of the COVID since they opened up. They no mask or nothing in Florida, so you just go down there kicking it. You know, I'm pretty sure South Beach, the clubs, everybody is doing their thing down there. And you know, so it's wide open in the state of Florida. I just wish people would exercise common sense. Even if you open everything, masks should be required. And I mean, it should really be inquired and enforced. And we've seen situations across the country where people are don't want to wear masks, and people are coming in very inconsiderate, talking about people infringing on their rights. Well, you infringe on my rights when you don't wear the mask. You just do. You infringe on my rights. And that's how I feel about it. So wear the mask, people. Be safe. Be smart is what we really want to do out here. The next segment, and I want to go to 40 Acres and a Mule. And I just happened to came past an interesting article that talked about 40 Acres and a Mule. And it gave a rundown on it. And when Donald Trump started talking this $500 billion plan stuff, it put me in the mindset of Reconstruction, and it put me in the mindset to go back and take a look at what happened during Reconstruction. And so, Reconstruction as well, but during with the 40 Acres and a Mule post-Civil War. And let me find my article in just 1 second. So I'm kind of got a lot of stuff going on around here in my office. So I want to get to it because I really want to discuss it. I really want to talk about it because it will let people know exactly what has happened in our country. Now, I will say this. Other ethnic groups have gotten reparations. I mean, the Japanese, they've gotten reparations. Jewish people have gotten reparations for the atrocities that happened at Holocaust, but the African American has not gotten reparations for the atrocities that happened during slavery. And I mean, you know, some people say, well, who's going to get the reparations? Hello, the descendants of those people who were affected. And you could see now, I mean, let's just be real. Reparations is definitely needed in order to help revitalize a group of people who have been oppressed. And in America, African-American people have been oppressed tremendously. I mean, it's no question that African-Americans, with the effect of chattel slavery. And for those people who don't know what chattel slavery is, I suggest you look it up. Chattel slavery. It's the worst form of slavery ever. Not indentured servitude, not where you're enslaved for a certain period of time and you're let go, and even that's bad. A slavery on any kind of level is not good. But you know, when you look at those kind of situations, it's like, who do we go to say, hey, and now that we're so, let me just go back. We're only like 150 years out of slavery, 150 some years out of slavery. So let's not get it twisted. We haven't been out of enslavement that long. We have not been. So reparations, I think we're something like 21 generations in. We still can get, we still need reparations because our communities are jacked up. So this thing here with Donald Trump and what he's saying and the things that he's coming out with as of late, I mean, really, it needs to be discussed. And everybody's been talking about reparations as of late, and you got a lot of stars talking about reparations as of late. I mean, these are things that need to be discussed. There's no way that you cannot talk about it if you're really serious about making some things happen. So let me go on and read this. This is from, this article was dated December 2007, 40 acres and a mule, Devin Curdy. All right. And I'm going to read this. It says here, the phrase 40 acres and a mule evokes the federal government's failure to redistribute land after the Civil War and the economic hardships of African Americans suffered as a result. As Northern armies moved through the South at the end of the war, blacks began cultivating land abandoned by whites. Rumors developed that land would be seized from Confederates and given and sold to freed men. Those rumors rested on solid foundation. Abolitionists had discussed land distribution at the beginning of the war. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln ordered 20,000 acres of land confiscated in South Carolina, sold to freedmen in 20-acre plots. Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon Chase, expanded, offering 40 acres per family. In January of 1865, General William Sherman with 20 African-American leaders who told him land ownership was the best way for blacks to secure and enjoy their newfound freedom. On the 16th of January of that year, Sherman issued Special Field Order No. 15. The order reserved coastal land in Georgia and South Carolina for black settlement. Each family would receive 40 acres. Later, Sherman agreed to loan the settlers army mules. 6 months after Sherman issued the order, 40,000 former slaves lived on 400,000 acres of this coastal land. In March, Congress seemed to indicate plans for widespread land reform when it was authorized Freedmen Bureau to divide confiscated land into small plots for sales to blacks and loyal Southern whites. I don't know how that was going to happen. Loyal Southern whites, who are those people? Less than a year after Sherman ordered, President Andrew Johnson intervened and ordered that the vast majority of the confiscated land be returned to its former owners. This included most of the land that the freedmen had settled. The federal government disposed tens of thousands of black landowners in Georgia and South Carolina. Some blacks fought back, driving away former owners with guns. Federal troops sometimes evicted blacks by force. In the end, only 2,000 blacks retained land they had won and worked after the war. Other provisions existed for blacks to acquire land, but they were ineffective. Prices under the Southern Homestead Act were too high for former slaves, almost no capital. The development of the black codes and the use of year-long contracts to buy labor also made acquiring land nearly impossible. Federal retreat from land retribution was not only disappointment that cultivated a sense of betrayal, it also a missed opportunity for economic reform that might have allowed Southern blacks to consolidate and hold political gain during the early Reconstruction. Now, that's what we're talking about right here in 40 acres and a mule. So when Donald Trump comes up with this $500 billion plan, it's kind of hard for black folks. It should be very difficult for African-Americans to put trust in that because we've actually seen what happened. We know what we've been through. We've seen where we cultivated land. You're talking about 20,000 people going, 40,000 people all the way down to 20,000. Let's just keep that in mind. That's how many plots. That's how much people lost to 2,000 people. It came in, we cultivated land, it came in and stole it. So when America talks about, you know, when you talk about making America great again, or when you're talking about African-Americans need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, when we did pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and when we did work as a collective community, this is what happened. So I would implore that African-Americans, when you go to the ballot, you think about your ballot first, but think about the historical context of what has happened in the past. These are the things that need to be really, really thought about when you make moves out here, for real. Now, we talk about black empowerment for those African-American people who are out there clapping. I mean, we shouldn't all think alike. I'm not saying that we should all think politically the same. But the one thing that holds us together is our color. That's the one thing that binds us is our color. So we may have all different political views and we may think differently on a lot of different issues. But the one thing that binds us as a people is our color. That's the one thing. So let's always remember that. And I'm not saying that that's something that we, because people say, well, we don't all think alike. No, we don't all think alike. But guess what? If anything ever happened and they decided to put us back in chains, you best believe color is the one thing that's going to separate us from everybody else, just like it did during slavery time. It was the one thing that separated white indentured servants from black indentured servants. It was the same thing. So I want people to kind of think about that when you think about history. But if you go back, that 40 acres of a mule is deep. I mean, Abraham Lincoln got assassinated. I mean, it just left the door open for the next president to come in and just, you know, Andrew Johnson just reversed everything. He said, I'm taking, you know, I'm not going to redistribute nothing. I need that land back. I need my white people to have this stuff back. It's just what it is. So, you know, these are issues. This is why your vote really counts. And they understand the vote. They understand the vote, man. That's why we have to really, we got to get out our apathetic attitude. We got to get out and vote some here. We know that politicians on a whole have an issue with keeping their promises. They have an issue with keeping their promises. And so when you have a president and black people, don't get duped. I just want you to know, don't get duped. Don't get duped into the platinum plan, because it won't happen. And I don't care. Yeah, it might sound like a Debbie Downer, but it won't happen. It's not going to happen. It's a political ploy. These are political ploys used to influence our votes. Just know that people are spending hundreds and millions of dollars to influence our vote. And we only make up, 14-15% of the population? People are trying to get and influence our votes. So we have to make our vote count. Period. If Joe Biden gets into office and he doesn't deliver something on a black agenda that's going to really make some, because we've seen communities that have gotten things changed. The gay and lesbian community has gotten things changed. The Hispanic community, the Latino community have gotten things changed. The black community, I don't want to hear this stuff about, well, we're going to do more, create more jobs. No. We need to create more jobs and businesses for the African-American community. Not for everybody. Yeah, everybody needs jobs. That's cool. I understand that. But we want to talk about a community that's suffering. They need jobs. We need businesses in our community. So when I hear politicians say that kind of stuff, well, I want to create jobs for everybody. No. You need to have a plan for African-American communities. You need to have a plan, a serious economic plan that's not controlled by any outside forces for African-American businesses. Not government ran. See, it's time out for all the foolishness, man. It's time for African Americans to demand stuff. Yes, we have a very nice disposition. We are a very forgiving people by nature. That's our nature. But guess what? Now is the time for us to start being very assertive on the things that we want in this country. We have to be. We have to be assertive. We have to be able to stand up. We have to be able to say, you know what? No, this is what I want, and we're not going to back down from it. And that's the only way that change happens. I mean, once you take those kind of stances, people will respect you more. We're not scared of black people. We're not scared. And contrary to popular belief, stuff you've seen on television, some of those movies, Mississippi Burning, you got black people running away from. Nah, get out of here with that. That's propaganda. No, we're not some meek people. We're warriors and fighters. That's for sure. If you want to make change happen, this is the time. Make change happen. And I'm not talking about dealing with bigoted people, racist people that are spewing, because a lot of those people, believe it or not, they're in the same position that you are. They're in the same position, and a lot of times we're being pitted against one another by the few that control what we do. And I'm not saying there's people in the boardroom sitting behind making plans. I'm saying these are institutionalized things that are put in place and have been for a long time. And you know, I heard a young activist talking the other day, and it was something going down in Kentucky, and they were talking about the the amount of force that was being used down in the city of Louisville. And I said to myself as I was listening, I said, well, if you're going to push, they're going to push back. I mean, you know, these institutions are just, they just aren't going to allow you to just walk in and just take over and just be here. They're going to fight back because they think that you're trying to take over. And really, we're not trying to take over. We just want our piece of the pie. And if Donald Trump was smart, that $500 billion could turn into trillions for business owners that don't look black if they really did it right. You have people who don't have that look Caucasian will be upset by the black community getting that money. It's just what it is. Hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas. On the Jeff Thomas Show, I want to thank you for tuning in to the show. As well, make sure every Tuesday and Thursday, man, you check me out right here on Blog Talk Radio. You could like our show page, put in, you know, press the like button, follow the show, I should say. Also, you can get it on iTunes and anywhere you see, you get your podcast, man. Make sure you check it out. I want to get into some sports on a little lighter note, so I'll talk about that in just 1 second. I think today might be the last day to register to vote, or coming up this weekend, make sure you go out and register. Make sure that you make that happen. All right. Now, I'm going to talk a little NFL football, and man, come on now. I have to talk about that team, Kansas City Chiefs. And if you got a chance to watch them on Monday Night Football last night, I got a chance to watch them Monday Night Football. They played against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who was the MVP. So you had two MVPs playing, the MVP from last year and the year before. Two young black quarterbacks, African-American quarterbacks, doing their thing, okay? But it seems that Patrick Mahomes has Lamar Jackson's number. He's beaten him. Lamar Jackson hasn't beaten Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And let me tell you why. Especially this season. And if fans aren't allowed in the stadium, let me just say this. For football players, you're playing in an open field. Okay? It's obvious. But what I mean by open field, there's no fans. Or if there are fans, it's very little fans. So here's a situation where you play football before. You know, a scrimmage and real games are like two different things. But these guys basically are playing scrimmages because there's no fans to influence momentum or anything like that. And so I would think that teams that aren't the greatest would be doing even better. I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so I'm going to talk about the Bears though in 1 second. Patrick Mahomes put up last night he was just slinging that ball, man. If you got a chance to watch it, he was just up. See, he recognized that this is just like practice. He's like, this is like practice. I'm going to throw the ball. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to make whatever moves I want right now. So Patrick Mahomes was just out there just kind of slinging that ball, man. When I watched him, I was like, man, dude just out there playing like it's a scrimmage. He's playing like it's a scrimmage. And if you look at it from that standpoint, you should be successful, really, at it. You should really be successful. This guy has the receivers. He has a tight end. He has a running back now. That's even a lot better. And let me pull up Patrick Mahomes' numbers from last night, because his numbers were tremendous, as well as Russell Wilson. And I'm going to talk about him in a second. Let me see. He had a passer rating last night of 133.5, threw for 385 yards and 4 touchdowns. Boy, is the GOAT. Right now, I'm calling him the baby GOAT. Because there's nobody besides Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson that's playing better than Patrick Mahomes right now. Nobody. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody says. Patrick Mahomes is taking care of his business at this particular moment. Nobody's beating him. And I would say now what he's up. But this is what? The third game. Right now he's at 9. He has 9 touchdowns. That's 3 touchdowns per game. So, I mean, he's on pace. He's on pace to throw 40 touchdowns easily. He's on pace to throw 40 touchdowns. So that is going to be very interesting. And me being a Chicago Bears fan, I'm upset with the Chicago Bears for not drafting Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Okay? But I will say this. And I will admit this. Deshaun Watson is struggling a little bit. And, I mean, he's struggling because coach, general manager for the Houston Texans is horrible. I'll say that again. Coach and the general manager for the Houston Texans is horrible. He should be fired immediately. There is no way that you trade away your best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. You just don't. That made no common sense at all. It's the most stupidest thing I've seen. You trade away your number one weapon. Now, this is interesting because right now, Deshaun Watson, let me look at his numbers. His QBR is 79. That's not good, man. That is not good. 79? This past week, that was his QBR. I mean, no, I take that back. No. That was his QBR. Against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He completed 70% of his pass. He had 2 touchdowns. 264 yards. That's okay. If he had DeAndre Hopkins, he had 300 yards. 300! So, Bill O'Brien, as the general manager of yourself, fire yourself, please, today. As a Bears fan, yes, I'm upset that we didn't get either one of those guys. We didn't get Patrick Mahomes. We didn't get Deshaun Watson. Instead, we drafted Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, boy. Mitchell. This is what the Bears and Ryan Pace decided, who they decided to draft. You pass up on two of those guys who are, you know, MVP caliber players, and you draft a guy who is not even in the ballpark. Let me go to Mitch Trubisky stats because, you know, I just got it for this last game. He had a QBR of 78.1, interception, 1 touchdown, 128 yards. Now, he threw an interception in the second half of the game that was like a deal breaker. So, oh, guess who came in? Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP. So I guess they wanted to kind of, you know, I guess they just, Matt Nagy, Chicago Bears coach, just wasn't feeling him. He said, hey, you know what? Pull him. Let's go. Gotta go. And so look at what happened. Put in Nick Foles. He comes in, wins the game, throws like 3 touchdowns, 100, 200 yards, whatever. Nick Foles had a great game for the Chicago Bears. Told guys a long time ago, especially in my Facebook group, Chicago Sports Nation. Nah. Downtown Sports Nation? Nah. Come on, man. It ain't happening. Not happening. We wasted a pick in drafting this guy number 2. And we didn't pick the Super Bowl MVP, the regular season MVP in Patrick Mahomes. So the Bears will forever have to live with that failure. Chicago, get it together. And then I want to talk about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson. And I'm going to tell you right now, this boy is balling out of control. He's putting up video game numbers. Video game numbers. Okay? Russ gets the Dallas Cowboys that everybody seems to love. America's team. When did that become America's team? When did the Dallas Cowboys become America's team? I'm trying to figure that out. Somebody please let me know. I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Period. Point blank. Last time I checked, I live in America. I don't like the Cowboys. They're trash. They've been trash for a long time, Jerry. Since the 90s. They haven't been good since they had that great offensive line. Haven't been that great since they had Troy Aikman at quarterback. They just haven't. The Dallas Cowboys are trash. Period. And for Dallas fans who don't like it, so be it. I don't care. They're trash. They're like the Bears to me. I'm switching. All right. But Russell Wilson against the Dallas Cowboys. 315, 5 touchdowns, passer rating of 130.7. Points off the chain. The week prior, he had a passer rating. 5 touchdowns again. Passer rating 132. That was against New England Patriots. The week prior to that, he had 332 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 143 yards. 139. I mean, well, I'm sorry. Passer rating, 143. My bad. For a regular season QBR of 139. Huge. That's the MVP right now. I'm just saying, that's the MVP. I know I had Patrick Mahomes, but, man, Russ throwing up some numbers. Throwing them numbers up. Can't nobody touch them numbers? Can't nobody touch them numbers right now? Russ balling out of control. It's huge, man. I'm just saying, that's huge. So when you have that kind of, you had those kind of numbers popping up, hard to stop. I'd like the Seattle Seahawks right now. Right now, them and the Green Bay Packers, I got to put Aaron Rodgers up there too. Aaron Rodgers is balling out of control. Now, if I'm picking a team to come out of the NFC, it's either the Seattle Seahawks or the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay, they play like, they remind me of 2010 when they played, when they won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Plus, Aaron Rodgers got a chip on his shoulder. He drafted a quarterback in first round. Yeah, he got a chip on his shoulder. I'd be upset too if I was him. Be upset. I'm he out there, Aaron Rodgers, letting him know, hey, I don't think so. Keep that young boy on the bench. That's what's going on. Come on to the Bears, Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what Bears fans say. We'll take you any day, yesterday, and tomorrow. Now, on to the NBA. The NBA Finals are here. And guess who's back in the finals? Lebanon, LeBron, LBJ, LJ, whatever you want to call him, LeBron James is back in the finals versus the Miami Heat. And my man Jimmy Butler, former Chicago Bull, drafted. We let him go, as usual. Once they leave Chicago, they become successful. They go to championships. They do all these great things. But anyway, yes, and that kicks off tomorrow night on Wednesday. So make sure you check out the NBA Finals. LeBron is back again, of course. LeBron has his Batman because, you know, he just, that's what he needs in order to make it to a championship. And people can say what they want, but AD, Anthony Davis, is the real deal, okay? And if AD doesn't play well, LeBron doesn't win. He just doesn't. Don't feel bad, LeBron fans. I'm not hating on LeBron. I'm just saying LeBron is at that age now where he needs help. But I like the Miami Heat. Although I think the Lakers going to win, I like the Heat. I like the grittiness of that team. I love the way they play defense. I love Jimmy Butler's tough mentality. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup that's coming starting tomorrow. I can't wait. I picked the Lakers to win it. I would say 7 games. But that's kind of a tough one. But then again, it's not that tough. It's not that tough because LeBron... Well, man, does anyone on the Heat besides Udonis Haslem, you know, he don't play. To me, people got championship experience on the Heat. But this is a different kind of championship. There's no travel involved. They're playing inside of a bubble. So they get to go right back to their hotel rooms. So this isn't like the championship that would be played normally where travel would be involved. Just think about this, the travel. So if this was a regular season, there's a 6.5, maybe 7-hour flight from L.A. to Miami and vice versa. So that travel and that wear and tear, that's something totally different. It's something totally different and something not looked at. So I think, you know, when you're talking about this particular NBA season, you know, I'm putting an asterisk by it. I don't care who wins. I'm putting an asterisk by it, and that's how I'm going to live with that one. Asterisk for this championship because the variables aren't there. The variables just aren't there that will affect how this championship is going to be won this year. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Make sure you tune in. I think that's going to be on ABC television, so you make sure you tune into that as well. Again, hey, listen, this is the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank everybody for listening in today. I really enjoyed getting out some information to you. That article that I read on 40 Acres and a Mule, it will be posted on the Jeff Thomas Show on Facebook. So you can make sure that you go in there and you check it out. Read the article. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think about it. I'll be posting it out on the social media platform. So make sure you get in there and check it out. Much love to everybody out there. Y'all be safe. And I will see you all definitely see you all this Thursday, God willing. You all be safe out there. And this is your man, Jeff, on the Jeff Thomas Show, always on time. Y'all take it easy.
Thank you.